praise God. I wonder if you could stand to your feet tonight. Somebody that's here, could you cup your hands? Could you cup your hands just like this? Amen. Somebody take two hands. Amen. Put them in a cup form and lift it high and say, God, I'm off from the box. Nothing less than your anointed best, oh Lord. Here I am. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who's next to me. You weren't there possibly the night that Jesus filled me. You don't know the cost that's in my box. Hallelujah. I wonder if you could loose your voice tonight and lift your hands again and somebody thank him. Lord, for the wonderful opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. If I could use the vernacular, ain't nobody know like you know what Jesus done for you. You don't know the cost. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Everyone that can stand, you're standing and reading of the word of the Lord with me tonight. We're going even all the way to the book of Malachi. Amen. The book of Malachi tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Appreciate what the Lord is doing. Praise the Lord in this house tonight. And thank you, Brother and Sister Davenport. And Brother and Sister Davenport. Praise God. Amen. For fine fellowship. We had ourselves a little spotted tea last night. Amen. Right in their wonderful 10-foot ceiling living room. And praise God, we've enjoyed their hospitality. It was just wonderful sandwiches. And amen. Just had the table spread. Praise God. Privileged to be with God's people. Hallelujah. Brother Govan, God bless you, sir. So good to see you come. And I know I'm making everyone aware you're here, but I want to just tell you that. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight, my friend. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Simply means I give myself to Yah. Hallelujah. And I want you to do that with me tonight. Book of Malachi, the very last chapter. If you can't find that, go to Matthew chapter 1. Take a sharp left and you can't miss it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter number 4. Amen. Starting with verse number 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. It sounds gloomy and doomy. A little bit on the negative side, if you could say. A little bit of fire, a little bit of brimstone. But in verse number 2, on the flip side of the coin, if we could say, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Somebody say healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and go up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Again, I want to look explicitly at the center of verse number 2. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. If I could entitle it simply, there is healing in his wings. Could you say with me one time, there is healing in his wings. Could you take that Bible again, gently put it to your bosom. Somebody lift another hand and could you pray. Father, we're asking, O Lord, again that you'd arrest the attention of every soul that's gathered in this house. God, we've come in one mind and one accord to lift you high. Thank you for every song and testimony, Lord, to come here and lift you high. God, it's your word now. Lord, we ask that you give. Amen. As we have opened our Bibles, let us open our hearts and receive what we have need of, Lord. We're giving you the glory. We're giving you the praise. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry to the laity. Again, from the shepherd to the sheep. God, you would feel a mighty move of revival every church that's here. That we could go forth changed, Lord, challenged, and giving you the honor. And again, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Look at your neighbor tonight. Shake somebody's hand and amen. Tell them I speak in tongues. How about you? Could you do it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Could you put your Bibles down and clap your hands one more time to the Lord? Somebody, praise. I wonder if we could get a little long-winded and do it a little harder and just a little longer. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for the joy tonight. Thank you for the joy tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Let's do it a little longer. I feel an expectancy. I feel revival in the house. Hallelujah.
I need you tonight, God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You can be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother, if you could just give me, amen, a spot more volume. Just a tad. Thank you, sir, on that monitor. Appreciate that so well. Amen. Book of Malachi, last book, last chapter. Some of the end notes just before we dive into 400 years of prophetical silence. Amen. The prophet begins to write something, amen, that is so awesome. For the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. I pondered some of these things, but I've looked into it. And don't get me wrong, I don't always cross my T's correctly or dot my I's and have all the ism and schism, homonyms, synonyms, and again, don't have all my M&Ms. Hallelujah. But I do feel tonight that the Holy Ghost has slipped the splinter again in somebody's soul that's going to demand attention before you leave here. Again, brother, I have been just not in as dedicated a sense as I need to, but in the last 3 years have just driven myself into studying the Hebrew language. Amen. I'm awesome sized by it. Amen. There's something about it that just thrills my soul. I like the Greek. I'm going to get into that some more if I can. But there's something about the Hebrew language. They simply call that a holy language. Somebody say holy.
Holy.
Hallelujah. Kodesh, Kodesh. Simply holy, holy. Something about that language that grips your soul. And I want to give you just a few nuggets if I could. Language is powerful. It really is. As a matter of fact, and I may have shared this with someone already, but brother, Jerusalem is the center of the earth, if we could say. Mount Moriah particularly, amen, where the temple once stood, the Temple Mount, which it is today, amen. From every language that is west of Jerusalem, amen, it is written, once again, brother, from the left to the right, every language, such as our English language, etc., French, and you can go on, but every language that is east of Jerusalem is written from the right to the left, Chinese, etc., and you can go on and on there. So every language from the east to the west flows back to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Because Calvary, once again, is the center. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say powerful. And so every language, brother, has a sense of power and has a sense of character and culture-mindedness about it. But Hebrew language, amen, one of the oldest languages, sister language, in some of the texts, brother, we could go into, but it branches out into many other areas. But in this language, I have come to find out that the very nature of the letters themselves, such as Latin and such as Greek, have a numerical value. Has anybody ever heard of the terminology gematria? Anybody ever dabbled into gematria? And simply all that is the numerical value for Hebrew letters. If you tie these letters together in a particular name, it comes out to an equation. If I could give you a small nugget real quickly. How about the name Amalek? How many remember Amalek? He is the leader of the Amalekites that come in the desert to the undefended Jew as Moses leads them on. And then the name Amalek in Hebrew equates, if you break that down per letter and tie it all together, it comes to 240. Somebody say 240. Amen. And the Hebrew word for doubt also equates to 240. Right. Hallelujah. So Amalek equals doubt. Yeah. Isn't it something? Here's a man of faith that with his hands held high, with her on one side and Aaron on the other, if the hands of faith stay up, right, doubt has got to dissipate. Yeah. But if we ever take them down, doubt prevails. Don't let your hands of faith go down. Keep them up tonight, saints. Hallelujah. Somebody shout faith. Amen. Brother, as a matter of fact, if you look it up, her simply means valley, hole, or crevice. Aaron means mountain. Those are the two people holding the hands of faith up. So whether you're in the valley or on the mountain, keep the faith high and everything's going to be all right. Woo! Somebody shout yes. You have to pardon me because I get excited about this kind of stuff. Amen. So I'm going to have me a mini rapture through the whole thing. Amen. You can sit there like you want to, like a dead box of rocks, but I pray you come with me tonight. Amen. There's another one. I think we've given this before, but the name Abraham or Avraham in Hebrew, if you look it up, his name equates to 613. Does that ring a bell to anybody? 613. That is the numbers of the law in the Old Testament. There are 613 Old Testament laws. These agnostics, these fanatics out there that want to take the Ten Commandments. Whoa, you got 613, my friend. It's not just 10. Of course, there's the major, then there's the mosaic. But if you add that together, that's exactly what Abraham's name equates. He equates the law. But if you break that down, there are 248 positive laws, such as you will get blessed when you ask the Lord something, or so-and-so. Somebody say that's positive. But there are 365 negative laws. For instance, brother, if you pick up sticks on the wrong day, you become part of a rock pile. Somebody say negative. Amen. Finding this out, brother, there are approximately 248 organs in the human body. Amen. And there are 365 what? Days of the year. You put 248, 365, that's 613. Add that together. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. With all 248 positive human organs, he walked by faith, even if every day of the year was not enough. Woo, hallelujah. Well, somebody shall praise God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Ha, ha, ha. Woo, somebody say there's healing in his wings. Could you clap anyhow for some of you that didn't do anything? Could you do that? Woo! Praise God. And so we could go on and on into this. Amen. But I want to get into some of the things. I'm just trying to show you how powerful the Hebrew language is. Every jot and every tittle is important. A jot is just a little mark on one of the letters. And a tittle is a little decorative sign, I believe, on the sheen or the seen letter of the Hebrew language. Stick with me. Look at somebody and say, the preacher's preaching. Help him out. Hallelujah. Amen. Watch this tonight. We go a little bit further and find out that within the envelope of all kinds of depths, brother, in the word of the Lord, is this one instance plus in the book of Deuteronomy. Amen. Chapter 6 and verse 4 that says what is called the Shema. Somebody say Shema. Amen. I'm going to have you spray it instead of say it tonight, but help me preach. Shema, which is simply, brother, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. Now we kind of categorize that and say that's it. That's the Shema. But according to the Jew, there is more. There is, you don't have to turn there, but it's Deuteronomy chapter 11, Numbers chapter 15, and we're going to get into that a little bit. There's more than just one little instance of the Shema. Amen. Shema simply means hear. Somebody say hear. He that hath an ear, he that hath a Shema, let him Shema. Praise God. Well, we're not taking turns up here, so you might as well feel it up here like I'm... Amen. Might as well feel like I'm feeling up here. And so, brother, in this Shema, we find out that these were things that God gave to Moses to command those, amen, people to do, to keep their mind in the concept that there is just one God. There's not just one holy language, but there is one God. And the Bible goes on, and I'm going to paraphrase, but he said, brother, when we rise up and when you sit down, when you go in and when you go out, I wanted to teach it to your children. I want you to put it, bind it about the frontlets between your eyes. I want you to bind it upon your hands. I want you to put it on your doorposts. That there is one God. Why, brother? Amen. Except for the border of the Mediterranean Sea, amen, all around them was heathen nations. To the south was Egypt. To the east was Amnon. And you can go on and on there. To the north was Syria. They believed in all kinds of gods, Asherah and Baal. So surrounded in the circumference of all kinds of heathenistic doctrines, God wanted them to remember every day and in every way, there's one God. Woo! Ah! Now let me just dive into this. Hallelujah. Brother, there's something here that continue to remind, and I want to go into it. One of them that we've mentioned was the on the doorposts. I want you to put it on the doorposts. Has anybody ever heard of a mezuzah? Amen, a mezuzah. It's a little rectangular box the Jews use, and I've seen a lot of this. We've been to Israel in the year of 1999. Sister Nolik and I had the awesome opportunity, amen, to go. We went to the Jerusalem Shalom Hotel, amen, and we've seen them there. It's a little rectangle box, and in the back there's a flap or a trap door, if I could say. And in the back of that, brother, is a little piece of paper. And on that piece of paper, it says, "Hear, O Israel." We've got a couple in our family. I can show. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is... one
Lord. And on every floor and on every door, amen, on every doorpost was this little, they were cheaper, they're a little plastic, amen, but there was the same thing, was this mezuzah. 15, 16 floors in the building, sister, I think we got stuck, what was it, the 14th or 15th floor. We got stuck in the elevator. And brother, I laid on that horn. Ah, help me out here. Don't worry, we'll get you down. Amen. 1 minute is too long stuck in one of those things. But at every floor and every door was this little rectangle box, brother, that constantly reminded the people, amen, that there's one God here. Brother, you know, I got to thinking about that. So no matter what Catholic, no matter what atheist, no matter what Islamic believer, no matter who walked through those doors, they were constantly reminded that, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Praise God. Somebody shout one. Somebody shout one. I'm here to tell you, when they walk through these doors, they ought to walk in here and identify you. Amen. It's like one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy, rolling, born-again, heaven-bound believer. Woo! One God. One God. One Lord. One faith. One baptism, Brother Everett. I believe I'm amongst in the house, amen, of one God believers. Come on, Philip. Has it been so long, don't you know, that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is one God. One God. Come on, one God, Pentecostals. Come on, one God, Pentecostals! Woo! Ah, Rabakaha! Woo! Hallelujah! Somebody shout one! You may be seated. As a matter of fact, brother, amen, God would have been practicing a heathen practice if he would have sent his son without incarnate value. In other words, if God didn't robe himself in flesh, if he just said, son, you go die and I'll stay up here, he would have been doing exactly as the heathens do that sacrifice their sons on altars. But it was totally different because he robed himself in his own flesh. Yeah. Well, praise God. Can I go a little further? It didn't stop there, brother. They wrapped things around their arm. That's what the Bible said. You bind it about your hand or your arm. And brother, you can see the pictures. I've seen them at the Western Wall. I've seen the Orthodox and the Hasidic, and you could go on and on. But they have, like, it's almost, they look like almost like a zebra because they wrap around leather strips around the arm. Guess what's on the inside of those leather strips, sir? Little strips of paper that say, here... O Israel, the Lord our God is. That means, brother, no matter what we touch, whose hands we shake, where we go, we're constantly reminded there's one God. How do I know you're a one God believer? Hey, there's a one God believer. Woo! Come on, saints of God. Hallelujah. One God. And it may look funny. Can I go a little further yet? It may look, these are representative reminders that God said, Moses, I want you to write it in the book. I want them to do it. Ah! Another was to take the box. He said, it's frontlets between thine eyes. So they take a little box. And inside that box, guess what's in there? A little piece of paper. Here, O Israel, the Lord our God is. Yes. Is. Is. Yes. One God. That means I've got Jesus on my mind. No matter where I look, no matter where I walk, I'm constantly reminded I'm going to take the mind of Christ. Ha! I'm going to know that God is one God. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Woo! Somebody say yes. Somebody shout yes. Woo, I wonder if we can all stand and clap our hands and love him tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody shout thank you, Jesus. am I going into tonight, brother? You may be seated, brother. Even at the childhood, amen, when they had the little baby in the cradle, that little Jewish kid, amen, they would whisper in its ears, even at the new birth situation, Shema Israel Adonai Elchino Adonai Echad. They would tell him, Hear, O Israel. Now, it doesn't look like he's understanding. He didn't give him, yeah, that's good. He didn't say, okay. He didn't spit out his pacifier in agreement. Amen. He just knew, brother, that this was sinking down in their soul. Amen. Even after they got out of the cribs and tore down the shades and the curtains and colored on the walls and turned into the tumbling toddlers as they normally do, amen, they would still constantly remind little Junior, amen, there is one God. Amen. Brother, as they went to what I call, amen, their little synagogue schools, as the schoolmaster would lead them. The schoolmaster is not the teacher. It's the one that leads them. The Old Testament led us to the master teacher. Amen. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so, brother, as they would lead them, they would go to the synagogue. They would even take a slate and put honey on that slate. You can read it for yourself. Read it in the Historicity Chronicle. You'd find out they'd smear that honey. They'd take a sharp edge like a nib of a pen or something, and they would trace through the alphabet gemara delet. Shema Israel. Hallelujah. They'd take that pen after it got a little thick with honey. Take it and lick it off. Amen. And start writing again. That's why David could say, Thy word that I'm writing is sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb I'm tasting. Ah! His word, brother, is above his name. Ah! Thank you, Jesus. And so, brother, even at they got to the older age, at the age of 13, they do what is called the bar mitzvah. And for a young lady, it would be a bat mitzvah. We were there in Israel when it happened, brother. It was unplanned, untimed. Amen. Someone from Georgia, the country of Georgia, that is, came over there with a young boy with all kinds of confetti, if I could say, trumpets and beating drums and sequences and embroidered clothes, and they had a time. Why? Because at the age of 13, the young man receives the Torah, the Word of God. He then becomes a man, even if he doesn't have hair on his elbow. Hallelujah. I can understand it, brother, from the crib to the, amen, to the grave. Constantly reminded, God is one. But it doesn't stop there. And this is what I'm trying to get to. Somebody say, I'm still with you, preacher. I'm not going to hold you too long. Taco Ding Dong will probably still be open. Amen. Hear this, preacher, tonight. There's another representative, an item, amen, that reminded the Jews. Because the Shema goes on into Deuteronomy chapter 11 and Numbers 15. Numbers 15, we're going to get there in a little bit, Brother Everett. Amen. But Numbers 15 talks about, amen, this shawl that they were to wear. It is what is called a prayer shawl. Or if we could say a tallit. Somebody say a tallit. And such is what is on the end of your flags. You can find them there. It is the tassel. And that is what is called the zitzit. Praise the Lord. Amen. The tallit and the zitzit. Somebody say the zitzit is on the tallit. Now get this. You're going to have to stick with me. Did somebody bring their Texas calculator or their Casio? Thank you, sir. Help me add this up tonight. It might be just in your brain. Amen. Use your calculators up here, but I'm going to need your help. How many are still with the program? Amen. Watch this tonight. Amen. The garments of old, and I know I've preached some of this before, amen, a long time ago, brother, but a garment means something. It's more than, brother, a hem that we use today is just to hem up the fray ends so that they won't fray and we won't untangle, amen, you know, just a half a pant leg as we're walking down the sidewalk, amen. They were a basis of representation back then, amen. As a matter of fact, rank and authority, amen, was identified by looking at somebody's hem. And I've mentioned it, brother, the night before or the one before that. It's when David and Saul were in the cave together. Amen. What did Saul do? Amen. He rested. He took off his kingly garment. What was that? That was most likely a prayer shawl. If you look up into the scripture, you'll find out there are again and again and again tens and 20 different connotations, such as border, hem, garment, that are most likely reflective of what was called a tallit, a prayer shawl. The KJV, amen, we read it as border, garment, and hem. But it most likely was a Jewish prayer shawl if you take it to its appropriate culture. How many follow? Amen. So when Saul took this off, it most likely was a tallit, amen, with the zitzit. David came and cut off a corner. Why did Saul say, now I know you're going to become the king of Israel? Why? Because the kingly identification was resting in his hands. Hallelujah. That's a biblical answer there, brother. Another biblical answer would to be finding Saul with Agag in the camp as Samuel came in there, could hear the lowing of heathen cattle and the baying of heathen sheep. And as the pronouncement came, brother, Samuel went to turn the other way. Amen. And as he did, Saul reached out
and tore part of his garment. And when you tear one of the four corners, it renders it ineffective. That's why Samuel turned around and said, God, in essence, is going to strip your kingdom from you because you've tore away. You prophesied your own doom, Saul. Brother, there are secular texts that talk about it, not just biblical answers, but if you look at some of the Akkadian texts, brother, with the cuneiform tablets way back in the historicity of the Mesopotamian times, brother, they would literally cut off the hem of somebody that was possessed of a devil, and they would do the exorcist upon the hem to cast out the devil, because the hem was them. Somebody say the hem is them. Amen. Didn't stop there. When the husband wanted to effect the divorce of his wife, they would cut off the hem of his wife's robe. When somebody wanted to sign a document when they were handicapped and couldn't do it with the authoritative ring in the clay, and when they couldn't do it any other way, they would take the bottom of their hem and press it into the clay, and they could still identify who signed the document. This might be, Brother Nolik, chapter 1 and verse 4. But I got a good feeling, brother, that in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, it talks about the master with eyes as of fire and hair as of wool. But the Bible also says his feet were like unto brass. Somebody say like. Somebody say simile. Didn't mean his feet were brass. They were like unto brass. What made his shoes shine? I believe Jesus' hem has so much authority and rank in it. It glows in heaven. I'm here to tell you tonight, saints of God, amen, that the train fills the temple. There ain't no victory he didn't win. There ain't no battle he didn't fight. Woo! Hallelujah. And so, brother, I've said all of this in the last how many minutes, brother, to get to this point. Somebody say, I'm still with you, preacher. I might bore you out of your gourd and make your brain drain to your socks, but help me out a little bit further. Is this okay? You may be seated just for a smidge. Watch this. So, if this is in Jewish custom, if all of this happened, brother, even in the times of Jesus, is it likely then, brother, that Jesus himself wore the tefillin and the phylacteries? And even on Mary and Joseph's home door was the mezuzah. And on Jesus' back was this talit pershal. In all likelihood, brother, Jesus wore the talit. Why? Because they said, Master, Rabbi. Jesus was noted as the master circuit Galilean circuit preacher. He went from synagogue to synagogue. He was an evangelist of his time. Brother, it was no strange thing that in the Luke chapter 4, he got into the Moses seat to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." It wasn't strange. It's only when he said that, "I'm the one," is where they got nervous. Oh, thanks for the denominal nod. Anybody with me in the backside of section A over there? How about section B? Well, hallelujah. Amen. Hear this, preacher. So Jesus most likely wore this talit thing. That's why, brother, amen, in the sense of it all, they wanted to touch the hem of garments back then. Look it up yourself. To them, brother, the garment or the tassel on the garment was somewhat superstitious to them. If we could just touch it, if we could get a hold of it. But, brother, they were about to get a hold of not just an ordinary rabbi. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise God. Can I go a little further with this? And I'm going to get down to it. But brother, that garment, and please help me count this. The garment, separate knots. Somebody say five knots. Amen. Four corners, eight strands, five knots. If you take five plus eight, you get what? Help me out, sir. 13. Amen. Did you know that that equates to the numerical value or the word echad? How many know what that is? That means one. So on the very garment of everyone, brother, even every rabbi, but explicitly, brother, on the very garment of Jesus Christ, the one God himself, amen, was the identification of one God. Hallelujah. Could
could I go just a little bit further? The fact, this is not Brother Nardock. You look this up. I can show you some of the documentation. I've got substantiation for it if you need it. Amen. But you'll also find out that the five knots, brother, represented to the Jew the Torah, or the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. In other words, when Jesus was walking around, brother, amen, it identified him, yes, as one God, but also the Word of God. For the Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. Woo! Praise God. No wonder, brother, you can read it in the gospel where it said they came from villages and all kinds of other places. If they could but at least touch the very hem of his garment. Gotta touch him. Reach out and touch the Lord. It didn't stop there. Somebody say four corners, eight strands, five knots. You see, the five knots were arranged to where there was four spaces. Somebody just lift up your hand and count the spaces between your fingers. There were four spaces. And to the Jew, that was representative of the tetragrammaton. I mean, you know what the tetragrammaton is. Tetra meaning four, grammaton, grammar. That means four letters. Four letters, YHWH, Yahweh. It didn't have vowels back then. I know this because I've studied it out. I can read some of that. I can read some Hebrew. I can say it. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. It didn't have vowels. So what it represents, brother, is Yahweh. He was, oh, glory to God. In other words, sister, when she come through the crowd, when she went through the press, she just didn't nonchalant, well, I'm tripping now. No, she knew where she was going. It might be a little superstitious, but I don't care. I heard too much about this rabbi. I've got to touch the one God, the one name, the one Word. And she touched the hem of his garment. Woo! There's healing in his wings. There's healing in his wings. There's healing in his wings. Thank God. Hallelujah. His wings. There is healing in his wings. Help me out, brother. You know algebra. Hey, man, what's this? Four corners? One, two, three, four. You don't have to count them individually, but there's eight strands. Hey, man, five knots. One, two, three, four, five. Four spaces in between. It might seem like fuzzy math. Four corners, eight strands, five knots, four spaces. But it equals one. One God. You may be seated just for a smidge. I'm here to tell you that Jesus most likely, it may not be in the exact form as this, brother. This is what they use today. Amen. But they wore something along these lines. Here is the talit with the tzitzit. And Jesus was that walking rabbi. If they could but at least touch the very hem of his garment. The hem. Now, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot from zero, from the birth or 2 years old, all the way to about 12 years old. Amen. And onward until about 30 years old when he began his ministry. Amen. But couldn't you just almost read between the gaps, amen, in the life of Jesus Christ as he walked around? But I wonder if there was one day, amen, one of these things just kind of flipped in his hand. Come on, he's all God and all man at the same time. Flipped in his hand, and he says, ah, hey, eight strands, five knots, 13, one. Are you with me up here? That's me. That's me. Well, hallelujah. And Brother Goldman, he looks again, and one, two, three, four spaces. Yahweh has become salvation. Jesus, Yeshua. That's me. Well, I don't know, but I've got a good feeling. Even in his synagogue recess times, he would go outside and play on the monkey bars. Amen. And brother, without anybody looking, there may have been a little puddle over here of water. And he just kind of reaches in there, makes something out of mud with nobody looking. He forms a bird. Nice bird there out of mud. and then looks, and nobody's, whew, and it flies away. Brother, go. I got a good feeling that that's what the Messiah, kid Jesus, kind of games he played. Hey, brother, I believe he played marbles with John, his cousin. I do. Something along those lines. I don't know why, but it seems always that Jesus won, too. Something about control of the gravity. Well, praise God. But he is who he says he is. Brother, I can almost see it right now. You know the story. But here's Mary and Joseph, amen, kneeling down to pray in their bedroom. Amen. And Mary thugs Joe on the side and says, hey, Joe, the one who we're praying to is in the next bedroom. Whew. Somebody say, get a grip. Amen. Come on, are you with me? Isn't that something? Here is Joseph. Amen. The carpenter man trying to teach his son, the creator of the world, how to hold a hammer. Come on, Pentecostals. Bad breath or bad dentures. That's why you don't. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. Woo! Isn't it something, brother, that Mary kissed the face of heaven? Sisters, might seem a little deep right here tonight, amen. But Mary literally helped, amen, God get his diapers changed. No, you don't like that, hallelujah. I can almost see, brother, when it's family night and they're popping popcorn. Amen, and they say, hey, let's go back out two by two, amen, in the nighttime. And they do. Jesus pairs up with someone. Mary pairs up. And guess what? They play a game. The one who can count the most stars wins. They got a time limit. The sands are falling through the neck of the glass. Come back in, calls the clarion, brother of the house family. Amen. And guess what? The one who paired up with Jesus not only count the most, amen, but succeeded in counting them all. He is who he says he is. They would not have died for a lie. They wouldn't have been sawn asunder, dragged asunder, hung upside down, spit on, boiled in oil, if this was a fake. But Jesus is who he says he is. Come on, brother. Jesus is who he says he is. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you that Jesus validates the credentials. Amen. He ousts all the imposters. There is nobody that has the blueprint of the Messiahship or the fingerprint like Jesus does. He is who he says he is. He is. Did you know, saints of God, that there was a man that read the Judaic Bible, or actually the Christian Bible here first, the King James Version. He read it, and he said, nah, this couldn't be. And he went to what was called the Jewish Torah, or the Tanakh, and he read the Jewish Old Testament, and found out that it means exactly the same. He had to come to the conclusions, amen, that Jesus is who he says he was. The test of faith. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, saints, that it would have taken insurmountable odds for Jesus to fulfill all 300 prophecies of the Old Testament that said something about the Messiah. 300 prophecies. Just to fulfill 8 of them, praise God, just to fulfill 8 of them approximately, and it would be like one chance for all these things to simultaneously happen to one person. Amen. Basically in the same life. One chance. In a trillion with 13 zeros behind it to the 13th power. 1 trillion to the 13th power. Somebody say that's impossible. It's virtually impossible, but just take 8 of them. They spat upon him. They plucked his beard. He rode in on a donkey. He was born in Bethlehem Ephrata. Another one, he had nail scars. Read Psalm chapter 22. Did you know that in the Roman regime, they did not use the manner of crucifixion? It came from the Persians, if I'm not mistaken. And the Romans only used it in a 12-year span. Jesus had to be born at a perfect time so that somewhere in that 12-year span, he would fulfill that because Psalms said he would. It is even eight prophecies would simply, but you're talking 300. Yet Jesus fulfilled every one of them. We sit here tonight mesmerized by our own culture, amen, and we sit here tonight, amen, somehow nummified by all the existing restraints and cares of life. I'm here to tell you tonight, shake up, hallelujah, get up, wake up, Jesus is on your side, and he is who he says he is. You can reach out and touch him, touch him, touch him, touch him. As a matter of fact, brother, if it was a farce, Peter would have said, hey, you writer, you gospel writer, take out the part where I denied him. Why look like a failure? But they had no need for fabrication because he knew it was real. Why? Because somebody seen an empty tomb. Keep it in there. I'll be all right. James, the very brother of Jesus, the half-brother, according to history, brother, he did not believe Jesus was his Messiah. Oh, he was a good rabbi, but he wasn't Messiah. And for a family rabbi, amen, not to be accepted by his own family, amen, was an atrocity. But somewhere along the lines, James was converted. Why? Because the Bible says there is a book of James. That's his brother. And guess what else? Guess what else? He was beheaded by Herod in the book of Acts. Somewhere along the line, James had a mind transformation and a soul salvation. You want to know why? Because he's seen an empty tomb. His brother wasn't there. Jesus is who he says he is. I'm here to tell you, if you need a healing, he is who he says he is. If you need an uplift, he is who he says he is. If you need the Holy Ghost, he is who he says he is. Yes. Woo. Somebody shout yes, 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 yes. Could you leap? Could you jump? Could you spin? Could you love God? Hallelujah. yes, yes. The authenticity. It's genuine. It's real. Somebody shout in your face, devil. It's real. You may be seated just for a smidge. Brother Dell, just hang on to that. You can sit down if you feel. Just kind of hang on to that. Hey, I want to show you something if I could. Somebody say there's healing in his wings. There's healing in his wings. Brother, I want you to read for me something. Oh, glory to God. I'm not preaching much longer. So if you're waiting for the good part, it's happening right now. Go ahead, brother. Amen. Read for me, if you could, Exodus 19:4. Go ahead, sir.
Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians.
You've seen what I did to the Egyptians.
And how I bear you on eagle's
and
wings.
How I bear you on what?
And eagle's wings.
Yeah, and...
And brought you unto myself.
Go to the next one if you could, please, sir. Amen. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. Here it is. Amen. It's written, I brought you out on eagle's wings.
The Lord recompense thy work.
Boaz to Ruth, we talked about them a little bit. The Lord recompense thy work.
And a full reward
be given
to thee.
And a full reward be given to thee, Ruth.
Of the Lord God of Israel.
The Lord God of Israel. You don't know anything about Judaism, but go ahead.
Under whose wings? Thou art come to trust.
Thou art come to trust. Somebody say wings.
Wings.
Go, brother, if you could, to Psalm chapter 61 and verse number 4. Somebody say, I'm still with you, preacher. Psalm 61 and verse 4. Go ahead, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah.
I will abide in thy tabernacle forever.
Just tonight.
Forever.
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 Somebody say, I love the house of the Lord.
I love the house of the Lord.
Watch me now. Watch me now. Don't miss this part, saints. Go ahead. Forever. Yes, sir.
I will trust.
In the covert.
Of thy wings.
Of thy what?
Wings.
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 Go to Numbers if you could. I'm going to get there. But again and again in Psalms... And again in Psalms, David says, I will hide or abide under the shadow of his wings. Something about the wings. Somebody say wings.
Wings.
Please don't lose me now. This is the crux of the message. Brother, go ahead in Numbers. Now, this is the other part or some of the other part of the Shema. Remember, on the doorposts, on the forehead. Wrap it around the arm. This is the other part. that I just preached about. Go ahead.
Speak unto the children,
unto the children of Israel,
and bid them, that they make them fringes,
that they make them zitzit
in the borders,
of their
garments,
of their tallit,
throughout generations,
all their generations,
and that they put upon,
the zitzit,
fringe of the borders, a ribbon of blue.
Thank you. That's good enough. So that they don't go around a whoring after their own lusts. But hear this tonight. Praise God. There is something. He said, I want you to do something with the zitzit upon the borders of the tallit. Look up the word borders that is mentioned. This is it. Don't lose it. Borders that is mentioned two times. Translate that to Hebrew. It is what is called chanaf. Chanaf. Somebody say chanaf. Hallelujah. If you translate that, it simply means edge, extremity, or wing. In the same instance, but in the book of Exodus, and unto Ruth, if I'm not mistaken, and other places, amen, it is the same thing, chanaf, edge, extremity, or wing. I will abide under the shadow of the wings, for the sun of righteousness shall arise with healing. Touch the one God. Touch the one word. Touch the one name. There's healing in the wings of the Most High. There is healing. Could you stand? Could you clap your hands? Could you lift your hands? Could you love the Lord? Yeah. Just play a note or two, sister, for a little bit. Can I launch out on two more points, if I could, brother, real quickly? He said to her, Miriam, don't touch me. I thought he was a gardener. But when he said my name, I reached out to touch him, and he said, don't touch me. Why? From what I understand, sister, in tabernacle times, in temple times, when the lamb was slain, Sister Davenport, and the blood went around the altar and they caught it in the cup, this was Yom Kippur. This was the Day of Atonement. Amen. This was Yom Kippur. They would come with the cup of blood, and then they would walk into the Holiest of Holies after all of the other instrumentations of the laver and etc. But they would come into the Holiest of Holies, and they would take that blood that he got at point A, bring it to point B, or the... and pour it upon the mercy seat as the Urim Thummim flashed in the 12 stones, and the flame of God would come, and the blue flickering flame of the Shekinah glory would lick up the blood as an acceptable sacrifice for just 1 year. It is notable, brother, that no human flesh could touch that priest from point A to point B. Most likely, Jesus was on his way with his own blood. Don't touch me. He was on the latch of the ladder to heaven. Don't touch me. Somehow Mary caught him in the garden. Don't touch me. But when he came back, after pouring his own blood on the mercy seat, he said, Thomas, touch me. Touch me. I'm here to tell you, brother, he's touchable tonight. Four corners. Four corners. Eight strands, five knots, four spaces. Now help me, brother. You see these four spaces? There's windings. And they gain as they go down. We won't count them now, but you can after. These windings are inside the spaces. You can find this in a medieval Jewish guide on how to. Brother Nolik did not make this up. But in those windings, and you can see it, it gains as it go down in the spaces. In the four spaces, the first windings is seven windings. Somebody say seven. The second space has eight. Somebody say eight. Put the two together. What number do you get? 15. Did you know that that is equivalent in Hebrew to the first syllable of Yahweh? Yah! The third space has 11 windings. Did you know that that is equivalent numerical value to the second syllable of Yahweh? Why? So the first three spaces, the windings in them mean Yahweh. Get this. The fourth space, this should ring, has 13 windings. What's that? Echad. What's that? one. So again, all four spaces say what? Yahweh is one. It doesn't stop there. Help me, brother calculator. Help me out. Someone with me. Come on, some of you technicians here. Add these together. Add them together. 7, 8, 11, 13, 39. Bye-bye. We are the Son of Righteousness shall arise. He's touchable. Gateway, he's touchable. Brother God, he's touchable. He's touchable. He's touchable. He's touchable. All you gotta do is reach out. I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't have to touch this cloth, but you can come running to an altar and get a hold of the hem of his garment. That's it. That's it. That's it. Oh.